WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. What if we could block a protein to stop runaway cell division? Dana-Farber laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and let's say it's June 13th, 1970. You flip open your paper to the sports pages and check the box scores from the previous day's game. Pittsburgh Pirates at San Diego Padres. Pirates win 2-0. Roberto Clemente went 0-for-4, but Willie Stargell was 2-for-3 with two RBIs. Winning pitcher, Doc Ellis, bringing his record to 5-4. His line, 9 innings pitched, 6 strikeouts, 8 walks, and there it is, 0 hits. A no-hitter for Doc Ellis, baseball immortality. But, of course, the box score never tells the full story. Some of you know where I'm heading with this. Here's Doc.
During the time when I was pitching the no-hitter in San Diego, I really didn't know. I didn't see the hitters. All I could tell was if they was on the right side or the left side. As far as seeing the target, the catcher put tape on his fingers so I could see the signals. The opposing team and my teammates, they knew I was high, but they didn't know what I was high on. They didn't really see it, but I had the acid in me, and I didn't know what I looked like with that acid.
That 1970 game against the Padres, of course, was Doc Ellis's legendary no-hitter, pitched, according to legend, in the midst of a full-on LSD trip. The story is baseball lore unearthed from time to time and retold to a new disbelieving audience. Maybe you saw the hyper-viral animation that went around a few years ago about the story. Well, now Doc Ellis and his no-hitter are getting the full documentary treatment. No-No, a documentary, and that's spelled D-O-C-K, which is how he spelled his name, is now out, and it's about much more than just that one legendary acid trip. Jeffrey Radici is the producer-director of No-No. Jeff, welcome to WNYC, and congratulations on the film.
Well, thank you for having me in here today,
Brian. And also joining us is Tom Rich, Doc Ellis's former manager. Tom, that's manager as an agent. You didn't manage the Pirates, right?
Not hardly.
So
No, I was Doc's lawyer and agent, yes.
Can you both promise that you have nothing more than coffee in your system right now as you do this interview?
Easily, yes. I can promise you that.
So let's start with a baseball lineup of 9 quick fact-check questions about the LSD no-hitter. Leading off, why did Doc Ellis take acid on the day he was a starting pitcher, Jeff?
Doc didn't realize that he was starting that day. There was an off day in between games. The Pirates were on a road trip. And, so Doc was partying in L.A. with his friends and lost track of time.
Question 2. There's footage of the game, right? Is there anything on the tape that would give you the sense that he was on LSD?
There's very little footage of the game, and, I'll leave it to the viewer's judgment as far as whether they can tell or not.
Because it's in the movie.
By the way, neither of us knew Doc at that time yet.
Oh, you weren't managing him at that time?
Not until the January of the following year. Uh-huh. I hadn't.
So
I did his next contract, but I hadn't met him yet. It wasn't until late in the year, towards the end of the calendar year, that he had asked me to go in at a time when, players weren't allowed to be represented. They had no right to be represented.
Right. It was before the case that established free agent rights in Major League Baseball.
It was long before that. They couldn't even go in and be represented even under the old rights, which were relatively nothing.
All right. Jeff, question 3. We heard that clip that the catcher put tape on his fingers to help Doc see the strike zone. Did his teammates know during the game what was going on?
As Doc said, they knew he was high, but they didn't know what he was high on. And he went on to say that, his teammates didn't know what LSD was. They thought that was something that the hippies took.
Question four, in the cleanup spot, did the fans or reporters or announcers have any indication?
Some of the reporters dispute the fact that Doc was on LSD. I think no.
Do you consider it a proven fact? Is it, you know, are you convinced that he actually was high on LSD, as he claims?
I did as much investigation as I could. I will not state that it's a proven fact. I will, you know, I present the evidence that I was able to gather in the film, including speaking to the gentleman that he was taking LSD with, you know, the day before the game, and a number of people that he talked to about it.
And question six, in your documentary, he says he pitched every game under the influence of something. Any evidence this wasn't the only time he was tripping to pitch?
Doc said that he never took LSD again for a game. I mean, he took LSD at other times. But when he speaks of being under the influence of drugs for every game, he's talking about amphetamines, greenies in that era.
That's a lot of players did.
More than 90% of them did.
Just to keep them up and their energy up and et cetera, pre-steroids. Question seven, are there any stories of other pitchers ever being high on acid or otherwise tripping?
There is a story about Bill Lee, the spaceman, who says that after his baseball career ended, he was playing the outfield. He played in a semi-pro Sandlot League in northern Vermont.
I've met Bill Lee, the former Red Sox and Expos pitcher, and he may still play. He just loved, but he would play baseball after he was a major leaguer with anybody who would play with him.
So what the spaceman said is that he was playing outfield and on mushrooms, psilocybin.
All right, after his major league career. Question eight, when did word get out first that this had apparently happened with Doc Ellis?
Well, so this happened kind of in a staggered approach because Donald Hall, the poet who wrote Doc's biography in 1976, it was in the galleys of the manuscript that Doc divulged this to Donald Hall around 1974, and then it was removed. Tom had that removed from the book because Doc was still playing baseball. He was with the Yankees in 1976. So it didn't get out until 1984 in the press and into the wider public.
And finally, question batting ninth, any other basic facts about the game or the legend that you feel you need to clarify?
Well, I think that, you know, the term no-no is interesting.
And that's the title of the documentary. And for people who aren't baseball fans, no-no is kind of baseball lingo for a no-hitter. He pitched the no-no.
Yeah. And, I don't know if this is a basic fact, but the story is that Dave Cash, who was the second baseman, a rookie on the team at the time, you know, baseball players are extremely superstitious. He started talking to Doc about the fact that he had a no-no going, and they had a little bit of banter back and forth, which is, you know, forbidden.
They're not supposed to mention it during it. It's bad luck.
There is a rumor that, you know, you would have to be a lexicographer to track it down, that the term no-no for no-hitter started with that game.
Oh, wow. How about that? So no-no for no-hitter and for doing LSD, which was obviously a no-no. So there's the fact-check lineup. Thank you for clarifying so much. But as I mentioned, we see that your film is really about so much more, the life of Doc Ellis and the political and cultural context around his career. So let's talk a little bit about Roberto Clemente. Here is Doc Ellis's first wife from the film, Paula, discussing the relationship with Clemente, followed by a clip of Clemente himself.
His first roommate was with Roberto Clemente, and Roberto Clemente was way ahead of his time, just a different approach. But he was just as vocal, just as innovative as Doc, not as flamboyant, not as outrageous.
I am Puerto Rican, I'm black. So anything that I do, first, I will be reflected on me because I'm black. And second, I will be reflected on me because I am Puerto Rican.
So Tom Rich, as Doc Ellis's agent, starting in, I guess, 71, did you hear talk about politics? Did you know Clemente, if you were around that team? Were there different kinds of black athletes and black role models and political talk?
Well, Doc Doc always had an agenda. Clemente was very outspoken and very proud. He had a different style. And at that time, Clemente was one of the ranking stars in the game. And he was very dignified in his leadership. Doc was his own man who was defiant and pushed back. This was a very racially charged period, not just in baseball. They hadn't made much progress since Jackie Robinson broke in, not nearly as much as they should have. So Doc was very defiant in his pushback. You know, it was a much different approach than Roberto Clemente, and Doc looked up to Roberto tremendously, as all the players did.
And to that point, here's another clip from the film. This is the pitcher Mudcat Grant from the documentary talking about what it was like to come up playing baseball in the 60s.
Jackie Robinson told me, and Sergeant Page said the same thing, said, listen, this is what's going to happen to you. They're going to call you names that you've never been called before. You're going to have to do things that you don't think is the right thing to do. But there's one thing that you got to always remember. You can't feel sorry for yourself. When you walk across those white lines and they say play baseball, they say you better win.
Marquette Grant from the documentary No No. Tom, that's kind of sad to me listening to that clip because we think of that kind of thing as being from the Jackie Robinson era, which is the late 40s when he started. But it was still that rough for black ball players into the late 1960s that they had to, you know, put up with all kinds of racial insults and slurs and just kind of had to eat it.
It was way beyond the 60s. I mean, there were situations, you know, Doc didn't get his chops and rolling until, you know, against this until the 70s. And, you know, this is when I started with him. And, for example, the World Series Pirates of 1971 still weren't allowed to stay on the beach down in Bradenton at spring training. And let's just say that there was a serious run-in between me and the people that were in charge of the rentals. And they, shall we say, they became persuaded in a set to about letting the guys rent on the beach. Regardless of their color and nationality, that took a serious confrontation. But it was terrible. That's how I got involved. It was ridiculous. And the 70s were terrible in our country as well. I mean, that's what was going on. It was very bad, and Doc had more guts than a burglar.
Huh. You know, Jeff, I once asked Earl the Pearl Monroe on this show about this topic, and he talked about how on those Knicks teams of the 70s, some of the more out there basketball players were talking about a lot of politics as a capital S statement about black power, and others were really just into the fashion and the big hair and the music, but to a lot of outsiders, they couldn't really tell the difference. So did Doc's outspokenness come primarily from a cultural or a political place?
I think it came from both.
Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I think it came from both. You know, Doc was wearing the stylish clothing and expressing himself in his attire and his style, but he was also speaking out, and it came from. I think it definitely came from a political place. He knew what he was talking about. He came from a middle class family in Los Angeles. He was extremely intelligent and inquisitive and explored the issues in the media.
Tom, last question, probably because we're going to run out of time. Do you think Doc Ellis liked being remembered as that guy who threw a no-hitter on acid? Did he ever resent getting in the way of people realizing, you know, that got in the way of people realizing he was actually a fabulous player?
Well, you know, and I think Jeff can answer this because Jeff was able to, with this piece, demonstrate the various sides of Doc Ellis. And, oh, hell yes, he knew the politics of it. That's why guys like Jackie Robinson delivered accolades to him and others, and people like Muhammad Ali came to visit in the Pirate Clubhouse, and Jeff has captured this. And the other part of it that you need to understand, because I know we're out of time virtually, but the last thing I would say is that the second part of his life after he left was all about redemption.
And there we do have to leave it. Jeffrey Radici is the director of No No, a documentary about the life and times of Doc Ellis. Tom Rich was Doc's manager or agent. No No premieres today at the Cinema Village East in Manhattan, playing all weekend.